The books you read and love as a child stay with you forever. Today, we'll get some direction as we look for books for the children we love this holiday season. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Every year around this time, we ask some of Iowa's independent booksellers to search out the best new books for kids. Today, I'll talk with Alice Meyer of Beaverdale Books, Marianne Peters of Newbo Books in Cedar Rapids, and Annie Leonard of The Next Chapter in Knoxville. They'll share their favorite new picture books, chapter books, nonfiction for kids, and a classic or two. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Great books make great gifts for kids, but finding great books for kids can be hard. Today, we've enlisted some help from three of Iowa's independent booksellers. Alice Meyer is here with us of Beaverdale Books. Hello, Alice.
Hi, Charity.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Annie Leonard is here from The Next Chapter in Knoxville. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you for coming back. And Marianne Peters is also here from Newbo Books in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Marianne.
Hello.
Thank you all for being here today. I have put off my holiday children's book shopping until today, so I'm expecting a lot of great ideas this hour. We're going to start with picture books, then we're going to talk about chapter books, some nonfiction books, and I've asked each of you to pick one of your classic favorites as well to talk about today. And because we have so many books to get through this hour, we're not going to take phone calls, but we'd still love to get your suggestions. You can send us an email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can leave a post on our Facebook page. Give us the name of a book that you're excited about this year for kids, or maybe a book that is a classic favorite of yours. Tell us a little bit about it and the age group that it's for. And let's get started with this year's picks. And Alice, I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, okay. My first pick is a picture book. It's called The Bear in the Book. The author is Kate Banks. And this is a story of a mother who is putting her child to bed, and she's going to be reading him a story. And he chooses the book about a bear. And so they're going through, they're all cuddled up and snuggled and reading the book. And every time the mother, it's the story about a bear going into hibernation. And the boy has all these questions about the bear. Do they really sleep all winter long? And yes, they hibernate, and they get ready for their long sleep. And the bear is curling up, and the boy keeps asking questions, and the mother just keeps saying, shh, the bear has to sleep. The bear has to sleep. And so we go on into the bear's den, and kids are ice skating outside, and the story goes on, and the boy is still asking questions, and the mom is still trying to quiet him down because the bear is sleeping and the bear needs to sleep. And finally, at the end of the story, it is springtime, and the bear is about to wake up, and just as the bear is about to wake up, the boy is asleep.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's just a really sweet story. And, you know, it teaches about nature and the bears and hibernation and everything. And it's a great bedtime story, way to get kids to sleep, too, because they're kind of following along with it. And the illustrations are just gorgeous.
Well, I looked at the front cover and I sort of had almost an Eric Carle kind of feeling when I looked at the front cover. But looking into the book, they take on a new character, a different character.
It does. The brushstrokes, I think, are much broader, and it's kind of muted and everything, too. But it's very vibrant as well. So,
all right. That one's called The Bear in the Book by Kate Banks. And this is a picture book, so it's for little kids.
Right. Yep. Yep.
All right, wonderful.
Preschool, kindergarten.
Yep. Annie, let's turn to you next for your first picture book pick.
Well, I thought I'd start with the younger kids also, and the one that I picked was Boy Plus Bot by Amy Dykman, illustrated by Dan Yaccarino. I think I'm saying that correctly. I picked this one because the story is sort of simple, not overly simplistic, so it's a fun read aloud for younger kids, boys or girls, but probably especially for the boys. And it's really about this friendship between a robot and a boy who meet when the boy's out playing in the forest. The pictures are a little bit cartoony, a little retro, bright colors, a lot of outdoor shots.
And they almost make me think of Pixar a little bit.
Yes, yes, they definitely do. And, you know, they have a series of adventures. Accidentally, the robot gets turned off, and so the boy tries to wake him up. And then the robot gets accidentally turned back on when the boy's asleep, and he thinks the boy is turned off. And so they have this little, you know, comedy of errors. It's very brief. It's a perfect length to read out loud to the little kids. It should hold their attention. And it's just a sweet, sweet story about how you can have a really wonderful friendship in spite of your differences of maybe culture or, you know, whatever kinds of differences of experience you might have. And so I just loved this one. What a sweet story.
And I do love the illustrations, and it looks like a book that kids would love to just sit and look at, too, even if you're not reading them.
I thought so. And it also feeds into little boys love things like robots and trucks. And, you know, so it very much goes along those lines.
All right. Wonderful. That's Boy Plus Bot. And that's the plus sign.
Yes.
Okay. By Amy Dykman, illustrated by, I'll try to do the name too, by Dan Iaccarino.
That right. Sounds right to me.
All right. We'll go with it for right now. Mary Ann, let's get your first pick.
Well, I love the book called Ice by Arthur Geisert. It is, he does both the illustrations and the, well, there aren't any words in this book. So, the story is told in these detailed etchings. Arthur Geisert lives in Bernard, Iowa, and he lives in a renovated bank building and does his art there.
I interviewed him on this program last year. So
he tells the story in this book of a community of pigs that are suffering from heat, and they are very inventive in figuring out a way to embark on an adventure to go find ice. And the details in the pictures help a parent who's reading it or telling the story to a child just fill in so many different details. You can go as deeply as you'd like. But it also offers a pre-reader a chance to look at the pictures, figure out what's going on their own, and then the language development is helped by hearing then someone just speak about what is going on.
Well, and that one is one that I have in my home, and I have to tell you that my pre-reader and my reader both love it. So they both love to look through it and talk about the pictures, and the pictures are so very intricate with so many weird details.
Yes, and it's a Parents' Choice Gold Award, and it's very, very great.
All right. That's Ice by Arthur Geisert. And that one, this is in the picture book category. That one is strictly pictures, no words. The word ice on the cover is about as wordy as that book gets. And we'll come back around now and go back to you, Alice.
Okay. My next one is This Moose Belongs to Me by Oliver Jeffers. And this is about a boy named Wilfred who is all decked out in red suspenders and a blue bow tie, who thinks he owns a moose. He just sees this moose and decides that's his, and he names it Marcel. The moose is going to be his pet, and Wilfred makes up all of these rules in order for Marcel to be his, such as, you know, the moose has to wait on him hand and foot, and he can't make too much noise while Marcel is playing his records, and he has to go wherever Wilfred wants to go. You know, he has to protect Wilfred from the rain, and he has to knock down things like apples from trees that Wilfred can't reach. And one day they're out on a walk, and they come across this woman who sees the moose and says, "Rodrigo, you're back." And Marcel says, "This moose belongs to me." But the moose seems to prefer the older woman, and Marcel decides that Marcel leaves, and or Wilfred leaves, I'm sorry, and gets tangled up in his lead string that he carries around with him so they don't get lost. And he gets all tangled up in his string, and is trying to figure out how to get untangled when all of a sudden the moose comes along and helps him. And so Wilfred thinks that Marcel is now back with him again, and they're together, and they go over the rules again. And Marcel the moose walks off once again and runs into what looks like a priest in the picture, and the priest says, "Dominic, you're back." So it's just a sweet little story of, you know, how, you know, you just can't own nature, especially a moose, and is anything really yours? And, you know, all the rules and regulations and, you know, the nice little twist at the end. It's a cute book.
It does sound darling. It also sounds like it it could possibly be really helpful to a parent,
yes,
in a particular situation.
Exactly. Yep.
When we have to learn that we don't own others.
That's right.
All right. Let's go back to you, Annie.
Okay. Well, my next pick is It's Milking Time by Phyllis Alsdorf, and the illustrations are by Steve Johnson and Lou Fancher. This one is also regional. I believe the authors are from Minnesota, but it could be anywhere yesteryear in Iowa on a dairy farm. I would say maybe the 1970s. And the illustrations are just luminous and beautiful, and they give this calm sort of perspective on what it's like to get up every morning and milk the cows and to do all the work on the farm and then to milk them again in the evening. Every morning and every evening is a refrain. Every morning, every night, it's milking time. And it's just about this little girl. She's probably about 10 years old, and she helps her dad with the milking every day. And they get a little bit technical. I think probably the technology is a little outdated now, so it's kind of nostalgic. But it's a beautiful relationship between the dad and the girl and the animals. And they work hard, and it's this kind of idealized pastoral environment, I would say. But it's lovely bedtime story. The pictures, I think my favorite part about the pictures is just the way that the light is rendered on every page. Just gorgeous. It gives that sense of morning and evening. And I would say this is not necessarily for the really young kids, because there's a little bit more text than probably the younger ones have an attention span for. But I think probably by about 4 or 5, this is a wonderful book to sort of share the work that goes into our food supply, even if it is a little bit outdated in terms of the technology. It really shows where our milk comes from and how much work goes into it, but also how much love and care can go into that work.
I love some of the pages that don't have any text at all are close-ups of just the cow and the cow's hair and fur, I guess. And
yes,
the texture is just wonderful in those pictures.
I thought so, too.
All right, that one's called It's Milking Time by Phyllis Alsdorf. We'll be back in just a moment with more picks. With me today, Annie Leonard of The Next Chapter in Knoxville, Marianne Peters of Nubo Books in Cedar Rapids, and Alice Meyer of Beaverdale Books. We're talking about the best new books for kids this holiday season. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's our holiday kids book show today. We're talking about the best new books for children this holiday season. With me, three of Iowa's independent booksellers, Alice Meyer of Beaverdale Books, Annie Leonard of The Next Chapter in Knoxville, and Marianne Peters of Nubo Books in Cedar Rapids. They've all picked a collection of picture books, chapter books, some nonfiction books, and they've also brought in a classic or two as well. And we're still talking about picture books, and it's your turn now, Marianne. What's your next pick?
Thanks. My next book is by Jane Yoland called Owl Moon. I brought it back. It's published in 1987, but it's got to continue to be seen. The illustrations are done by John Schoenherr. It was given the Caldecott Award. It's the story of a little girl who goes out in the woods in the middle of the winter with her dad to go owling. And the illustrations are gorgeous, showing the moon bright on the snow. It's very peaceful. It's very descriptive of all of those feelings, the cold, the wet, the furry scarf around her mouth, and how you have to be very quiet to lure those owls out of the trees.
Right. And for people who don't know what going owling is, they're just going out to look. They're trying to find owls to see in the night.
They call to the owl and see if it responds. And in this book, you think, oh, the owl isn't going to show up. But in the end, I'm going to spoil all the excitement. But the owl suddenly pops up out of the limbs of the trees.
And it's such a beautiful book. Again, that's another favorite in my house. So I was happy to see that on your list. That's one that we return to again and again. And Alice, we'll go back to you. Alice, can you hear me?
I can.
All right, there we are. Now I can hear you too, which is perfect.
Okay.
What's your next pick?
There Was a Tree by Rachel Isadora, which is really a book form of the old song, The Green Grass Grew All Around, that was written in 1912. And it's just the words of the song with the story along with it. There was a hole in the middle of the ground, and in the hole there grew a tree. And it just goes through the entire verses of the song. She set the song, though, in Africa, and it's the illustrations in this book that really make it pop. You were talking about reminiscent of Eric Carle earlier, and I think these are as well. They're just so bright and vivid, and each page has a border around it of the African art. And then she also uses a rebus picture in the lyrics of the song, to make it a little more interesting, I guess. But there's just all of the images of Africa and, the shade and the shelter that this tree provides, with giraffes and the monkeys and the bird and the tree. And then in the back of the book, there's actually the words and music of the song and the key to the rebus.
Wonderful. It's
just a gorgeous book.
And the I love the silhouettes of the African animals sort of in the background of her pictures.
Yes,
so cool.
It is. It's beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. All right. And that one is called There Was a Tree by Rachel Isadora. And we're back to you, Annie.
Well, it's that time of year, so I thought I really wanted to pick a Christmas book. And the one that I have had the most fun with this year is called The Night Santa Got Lost, How NORAD Saved Christmas by Michael Keane, illustrated by Michael Garland. And in case you don't know, NORAD stands for the North American Aerospace Defense Command. And this one is just a redo of The Night Before Christmas. But in it, Santa gets lost in a storm, and NORAD, who tracks Santa every year anyways just to make sure that he's safe on his travels, realizes that he's lost, and they mobilize all of the armed forces and rescue squads of the American government, the Air Force, the Marines, the Navy, the Coast Guard, and all kinds of other National Guard. Everybody comes out to help Santa finish his mission of bringing presents to all the children on Christmas Eve. And it's just fun, a little bit goofy, of course, rather improbable, but it's a very nice tribute to our armed forces and all the people that work so hard to keep us safe all the time and, of course, to keep Santa Claus safe.
Was this put out in conjunction with NORAD?
I don't know that it was, but it sure pays homage to them.
Okay. Well, and of course, NORAD really does track Santa every year. My kids and I watch NORAD.
Yes.
NORAD Santa tracking every year on Christmas Eve.
Exactly. So this time they were on the spot when Santa actually ran into trouble.
Oh, wonderful. Well, it's good to know somebody's there.
That's right. They've got your back,
it's not
Santa.
Just Rudolph. All right, Marianne, back to you.
This is The Dot by Peter H. Reynolds, a story of a little girl in an art class who says, "I cannot draw." Well, it turns out that she puts a dot on this big blank sheet of paper, and her teacher says, "Sign it." So it is, and then the next day, Vashti comes back to the class and sees that her teacher has framed it in swirly gold and put it up on the table, on the wall. So it's a delightful celebration of self-expression. Vashti turns around to her friend who says, "He can't draw a straight line." And she says, "Well, show me." and he draws a squiggly line, and she says, sign it.
That's wonderful. And that one has been around for a while, too, but it's certainly already become a classic. That came out, what, first
in 2003.
All right. And let's go around again. We're back to you, Alice.
Okay. I've got Subway Story by Julia Sarcone Roach. And this is kind of a neat book for Iowa kids because a lot of them don't know what a subway is. So this tells the story of Jesse, the subway car, who was born in the early 60s, because it's actually based on the true stories of when in New York City for the 1964 World's Fair, a lot of new subway cars were put into commission in order to impress all of the guests that were coming to New York City for the World's Fair. So it just tells the story about Jesse bringing people around to their jobs and fun and you know, bringing their Christmas trees home on the subway cars and wedding cakes and just living their lives through the subway system. And, of course, Jesse is getting older, and, you know, she gets a new light one year and a new paint job another year and some new windows, and she just keeps working as hard as she can. But, of course, there comes the time when she just can't be repaired anymore. So what are they going to do with her? Well, this is actually true. Back then, they took these old subway cars and actually brought them out into the Atlantic Ocean and made artificial reefs out of these cars. And so the algae and the fish and everything would make these subway cars their homes. And that is what happens to Jessie in our story. So just when she thinks she's really being put out to pasture, so to speak, she becomes a coral reef, and the fish and the ocean just have a new home.
And she has a face. She's smiling, I hope, through that transition. Does she handle it okay?
She gets a little worried when she's not quite sure what her fate is going to be. But then when she realizes that, you know, she does still have a purpose, and it's a noble purpose, then she's okay.
All right.
All.
I was worried.
Not in a kid's book. Yeah. She's a cutie.
All right. Wonderful. And that one's called Subway Story by Julia Sarcone Roach. And back to you, Annie.
Okay, well, my next one is The Town Mouse and the Country Mouse, which is, of course, a very familiar Aesop's Fables book. But this one I picked, every year I sort of try to find one that has the artwork that really enchants me. This is a retelling and illustration by Helen Ward, and the illustrations are absolutely gorgeous. The nature of the country mouse looks to me like the most heavenly place to be. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous artwork, frameable, if you ask me. Pictures of intricate moths and beautiful fruit and flowers. And the subtext through this whole thing, as the snooty town mouse comes visiting, he's afraid or doesn't like all of the things that are actually the most gorgeous in the pictures. And so it's an interesting kind of juxtaposition above and beyond the text itself. So this is one of those ones that's a treasure really for the artwork.
Okay, that's The Town Mouse and The Country Mouse, a new edition by Helen Ward. And you have one of those classic stories too, Marianne, that's been put out in a new edition. What's your pick?
My pick was Mouse and Lion by Aesop, and it was retold by Rand Burkert and illustrated by Nancy Eckham Burkert. This was from 2011. It is an old ancient story, delightfully illustrated with different perspectives of the lion really up close, and it's so beautiful. It's just art.
All right.
I had to appreciate that.
Wonderful to look at. We're talking about the best new books for kids this holiday season, and I have three of Iowa's preeminent independent booksellers in the studio with me today: Alice Meyer of Beaverdale Books, Annie Leonard of The Next Chapter in Knoxville, and Marianne Peters of Newbow Books in Cedar Rapids. And Alice, we are back around to you.
Okay, my next book is The Year It Comes Around. The subtitle is Haiku Through the Seasons, and it is by Sid Farrar and illustrated by Ilsa Plume. And it's starts with the calendar year, and it goes through the 12 months with a little haiku for each month. Starting in January, each window panes a masterpiece, personally signed, your friend Jack Frost. And it takes us through the winter and the spring with the robins, and you know, summer with the frogs and the tadpoles and fireflies. And there's one here that is reminiscent of Iowa for the summertime. A mystery how these endless rows of corn can agree on their height. And then we're into fall, and of course back to winter again, and it's the end of the year. But it's just a beautiful book, and you know the rhythm of it is the rhythm of the seasons. There's an explanation in the back of haiku, and then also a couple of pages that explain just the cycle of life and how the earth goes around the sun and rotates. And then there's a brief description of each of the seasons and what they provide for us as well. So, and then it ends with another haiku about the earth. Earth circles the sun, spinning a tapestry of days, months, seasons, life. It's just a really pretty book and a nice way to introduce kids to poetry and haiku.
And that one is The Year Comes Round, Haiku Through the Seasons by Sid Farrar?
Yes.
All right. And back to you, Annie.
Well, this next one is actually one that both Alice and I chose, and it's called Because Amelia Smiled by David Ezra Stein. And I picked this one really more than anything for the message in it, but also the illustrations are fun and wonderful. But in this story, a little girl in the middle of a big city smiles at somebody as she passes them. And then there's a ripple effect from that smile that ends up going all the way around the world in some really inventive and wonderful ways. Somebody has the idea to bake some cookies and send them to somebody across the world, and that person shares the cookies and something else good happens. And this is a familiar theme, I think, for all of us, but it's just a lovely reminder. I really love the illustrations also. They're very intricate, so lots of things for the kids to look at, and also very global, so very cross-cultural, all kinds of wonderful things to learn about, in addition to the simple message that you never know, if you smile at somebody, you might change the world.
And you know, the fact that both of you picked that one, it seems like the and I thought, wow, I need to get that. It seems like this is the perfect book for moms too.
Yes.
Definitely a message we want to send. Because Amelia Smiled by David Ezra Stein. And all right, we're going back to you, Marianne. And you've got a pair of books now, right?
I do. I couldn't separate these two. They're by Jane Yolen and illustrated by Mark Teague. One is called How Do Dinosaurs Say Merry Christmas? The other is called How Do Dinosaurs Say Happy Hanukkah? And each one of them follows a dinosaur through the traditions of each of their traditions. And every page has a different dinosaur. So they are so creative. And in fact, each one has a made-up name. And if you delve deeper into some of the illustrations in the beginning, you can see some unusual names of dinosaurs. But it really celebrates each holiday tradition in a way that kids are going to really relate to, because is a dinosaur going to be ornery about the dreidels and not let anyone else play with them? And those questions go through each of the book and that books. And then at the end, no, the dinosaur is going to do be very wonderful with each of the traditions. So,
all right. And of course, delightful. This is part of the How Do Dinosaurs series that we've seen so many entries into, but these are the latest two this year for the holiday season. Mm-hmm. How Do Dinosaurs Say Merry Christmas and How Do Dinosaurs Say Happy Hanukkah by Jane Yolen and Mark Teague. Did we see the illustrator?
The illustrator.
Okay.
I checked that.
All right. Wonderful. And we're almost to a break, but we're going to move on to chapter books right now anyway. And Alice, I'll put you on the spot to briefly talk about your first chapter book.
Oh, sure. My first chapter book is Starry River of the Sky by Grace Lynn. It's kind of a companion book to her other book, Where the Mountain Meets the Moon. And we meet the character Rendy, who is hiding in this cart filled with casks of wine, who has actually run away from home. And he ends up at this inn because he gets caught hiding. He meets all of the characters in the inn. And it seems that the moon is missing, and Rendy seems to be the only person who notices this, and he is the only person that can hear the sky crying at night. As he meets all these characters at the inn, we get into this storytelling thing with the characters that it's just beautiful how they do this, and they weave in the Chinese folklore and the Chinese wisdom with all of their stories. And then you realize that the characters are actually telling the stories of themselves and their own lives. And the author has said that she has taken some of the traditional Chinese folklore and kind of adapted it to fit in with the stories and the characters. You get to a part in the story where it does get a little bit suspenseful. And honestly, this just kept me reading. I could not put this book down.
Oh, wonderful.
And the illustrations in it are gorgeous and were also done by the author.
And there are illustrations throughout. It's not
yes.
a picture book. It's a chapter book for third
right.
grade and up, but there are right. illustrations throughout.
Right. Each chapter has its own little illustration that kind of tells you what's going to come along in the chapter. And it's just a beautifully written book, and even adults would like this.
All right. Starry River of the Sky by Grace Lynn, our first chapter book pick from Alice Meyer of Beaverdale Books. We'll be back with more chapter books. Annie Leonard of Next Chapter in Knoxville and Marianne Peters of Nubo Books in Cedar Rapids. It's our holiday children's book show today on Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about the best new kids' books of the holiday season. We've talked about picture books. We've moved on now to chapter books. And I have three guests here with me today who are extremely knowledgeable about these books. Alice Meyer of Beaverdale Books, Annie Leonard of The Next Chapter in Knoxville, and Marianne Peters of Nubo Books in Cedar Rapids. And Annie, it's your turn. Give us your first chapter book pick.
Well, the first one I want to talk about is called Bliss by Catherine Littlewood. This one was vetted by my own 8-year-old daughter. She's read it 3 times now.
Wow, that's a recommendation.
That's what I thought, too, when I asked them, okay, guys, I'm, going to talk about books. Which one do you recommend? This was the one she wanted me to talk about. And so this is about the Bliss family who live in a small town, and they have a bakery called the Bliss Family Bakery. And they cater to their small town clientele. But one of the things that they do is they make magical recipes like stone sleep snickerdoodles and singing ginger snaps and all kinds of other things like cookies of truth. And one day the parents get called away to another town to go help with the influenza epidemic or something like that. And a evil but very beautiful aunt shows up to help the children, unbeknownst to the parents, of course, and tries to steal the book that is their family heirloom. And the main character is a girl named Rose, who's probably about 6th grade, something like that. And of course, she has a crush and pesky brothers and all of the things that concern most kids at this age. And it's the way that she finds herself and finds the wherewithal to do the right thing in the face of this evil relative that's trying to take over their lives, while she also finds her own heritage of making the magic recipes in the book. This is set up for a sequel, and that's the other thing that I've learned about the books that the kids really enjoy. They love to have another book to read about the same characters, and so
right.
that's Bliss.
Oh, wow. Well, that just went... Don't tell my daughter. That's that went on my shopping list. That's a great one. All right, that's Bliss by Catherine Littlewood. And now we're back to you, Marianne.
I'd like to introduce a book called Button Down by Anne Ilvesacker. She has written a previous book about the Button family called The Luck of the Buttons. But this book is set in a small eastern Iowa town. Ned is a young boy who would love to play football. But throughout this story, he discovers his own courage to face down the bully, his discovery that his ancient grandpa really knows a lot about football strategy. You don't have to always be big. You can be smart. And he realizes also realizes the difference between what finders keepers is and what stealing is. This story is infused with a gentle humor, and it really can appeal to young Hawk fans because right. it talks about going to the new stadium, the Iowa Hawkeye Stadium in Iowa City. So obviously
and
this was set in 1929.
Wonderful. Oh, that looks like a great book, especially for boys, but I'm sure it could go either way. And again, the last two we talked about, both third grade level.
Yes.
And I haven't heard about this one. I'm shocked that I haven't heard about a new book taking place in Iowa.
And Anne is also writing her third book about the Buttons.
Oh, terrific. And she's a native Iowan, although no longer lives here.
Right.
All right. That's Button Down. And say her last name for me again.
Ilvesacher.
Anne Ilvesacher. Terrific. And we're back around to you, Alice.
Okay. I've brought along a book called The Hop by Cheryl Byers Moranville, who is a local area author here in the Des Moines area. This is kind of an environmental tale about Tad the Toad, and he lives on the property of the other main character, Taylor's grandmother. And the book opens with Tad just kind of waking up from his winter sleep. And I just love how the author kind of plays with the whole cycle of nature here, because as Tad is emerging from his hole in the ground, he's on the lookout for other animals that might kind of grab him for lunch or whatever. And while he's doing this, meanwhile, a bug flies by and he just zaps it. You know, so I like how she kind of has fun with that. So the property that Tad lives on has been sold, and there is to be a new strip mall built on this property. So the Toads Society, there's this whole society, Toad Society, that the author has built up, which is just kind of fun to read about. They know that the big machinery is coming in and something is about to come down, and there's this the Supreme Toad or whatever, who is called the Seer, kind of knows how to prevent this, and that is that you have to kiss a human, which the Toads think is just absolutely disgusting. Meanwhile, the girl Taylor is also concerned about what is going to happen to this beloved pond that she has just, you know, grown up with on her grandmother's property, visiting her grandmother and all the memories that she has here, there. And as it ends up, the toads foresee that they have to go to a place called Reno in order to prevent this from happening. And it just happens that Taylor's parents are also going to Reno because they're kind of in a 50s tribute band or whatever. And that's where the other meaning of the hop comes in, that there's going to be a hop. And Tad the Toad has this mission that in order to stop everything, he has to kiss the queen of the hop. So it's all very neatly tied up in the end. And it's just a very amusing story with a lesson and, you know, kids that are doing good. And like I said, the Toad Society is really kind of fun to be part of, too. She's just created a nice little world there.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
All right, and I was just looking at the clock. We're going to have to start being a little more brief as we talk about these chapter books. So it's your turn, Annie.
Well, the next one that I have is The Hero's Guide to Saving Your Kingdom by Christopher Healy. This is the one that was recommended by my 11-year-old. And when he was reading this one, he had to come and keep reading me passages. And he laughed out loud for about a week as he read through it. But it's a story of all of the heroes from the familiar fairy tales. And usually those heroes are called Prince Charming in the story, but that's not really their names. Their names are Liam, Frederick, Duncan, and Gustav. And they're all very human, and their princesses aren't the little goody two-shoes that you remember from the fairy tales either. And they all go on this epic adventure. And this one is just laugh out loud funny. The kids love it, boys or girls. I would say this is fourth, fifth, sixth grade probably. And we've been getting a lot of good feedback from our customers on this one too. This is just fun. and we do this, of the fairy tales.
Is this part of a series or?
Not yet. This is the first one. Okay. I'm not sure. Hopefully, Christopher Healy will be writing more adventures of these princes.
Well, it sounds tailor-made for a nice, long, juicy series, I think.
Yes.
The Hero's Guide to Saving Your Kingdom by Christopher Healy. And again, you thought maybe just a little bit older.
Just a little bit older. Okay. It's very witty.
Upper elementary.
Yeah.
Terrific. All right, Marianne.
We the Children by Andrew Clements. It was written in 2011. It's the first in a 6-volume series. So I picked the first one. The second book will be called Fear Itself. The next one is The Whites of Their Eyes. That was out in January. And then In Harm's Way comes out in 2013. It's a well-done chapter book, features a likable and smart sixth grader embroiled in a mystery. This is another story about big business coming in to threaten a historic school. The story feeds the curious mind with adventure, real-life issues, interest in history, and historic preservation, which I think is a little bit unusual in a children's story. And he's also a sailor, so there's a lot of sailing kind of action. There are illustrations scattered throughout it, which really enhance the understanding of the plot, and there's a very nice humor in it, too.
Well, in looking at the age level, it says the reading level is for ages 7 and up, but it's recommended for 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th graders. So it might be a great one for a reluctant reader, too.
Could be, yeah.
Terrific. All right, Alice, back to you.
Okay, I have Stealing Air by Trent Reedy. He is a former Iowan, and the book is actually set in Riverside, Iowa, about three boys who are attempting to build an airplane in a secret shed. And it just talks about all the secret things that they have to go through to get the materials for the plane, and they try – there's some unsuccessful attempts to get the plane in the air, which kind of don't do this at home kind of thing. One of the boy's parents is involved in this business proposition of actually manufacturing some of this called plasticeel that they're trying to build the plane from. And it also has themes that are kind of important to kids of this age now. I think the boys are sixth graders, and there's the bully that is just always bothering them. There's the, you know, first little romance thing going on with one of the boys and actually the sister of the bully. And it's just, it's a real adventure story. I think it would be a lot of fun for boys and girls.
Wonderful. And another great Iowa connection, too, which
That's
I'm sure
right.
would be exciting.
Yes, a lot of Star Trek references in there.
I would be disappointed if that were not the case. All right, back to you, Annie.
Well, my next one is The One and Only Ivan by Catherine Applegate. And this is the story of a gorilla who lives in a sideshow mall type of an environment all by himself for decades. And he happens to love to paint. And there's a little girl who is the daughter of one of the groundskeepers that slips him pencils and crayons and paper, and so he makes pictures all the time.
Annie, I'm already starting to tear up. So, is this as big a heartbreaker as it sounds like it is?
It's even worse. It gets worse as a heartbreaker. Basically, before I really tell you more about it, this is a book that I think that any adult who is trying to raise compassionate children should really put in their hands. These animals live in complete isolation. They're not well cared for at all. And one day they bring a baby elephant to live there with them, the humans do. And this is all told from the perspective of Ivan, this gorilla. And very spare prose. Some pages only have a few sentences on it. It goes very quickly. But it's about how Ivan pulls himself out of his sort of self-protective apathy to find a way to help the baby elephant to get her to a zoo where she will be properly cared for and be able to be with other elephants instead of just living by herself. It's a wonderful, wonderful, heartwarming story. And yeah, it's about a 10-hanky book, but the message is amazing. And I think the way that Catherine Applegate renders it is just so beautiful. This is a really special book.
And what age range would you think?
I would say that the younger readers from second grade on up could probably get through it. You're going to need to talk to them about it. Okay. I think if they get a whole lot older than about sixth grade, they're going to start moving on to other themes. So it's kind of an opportunistic book to catch them when they're young. And
right.
really get them thinking about some of these issues.
Well, and we are nearly out of time. I know I asked you to bring nonfiction picks as well, but I'm going to skip ahead. Let's talk about your classic favorite. And I know we got a question on Facebook from someone asking, what's a great read aloud for the whole family, spans a lot of ages for Christmas time. And that's your classic pick, Marianne.
The Polar Express. Couldn't be any better. It's great for the whole family, and it is such a classic. This is this edition is the 25th anniversary of this Caldecott winner, and this edition includes an ornament and a CD read by Liam Neeson. I think everyone loves the illustrations and the...
Well, and I love the book so much more than the movie. It's so evocative. It allows the kids to really imagine so much. And it's such a nice, quiet read, too.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. And your classic pick, Alice.
The Velveteen Rabbit. Just the themes of love and longevity and, you know, being alive in a memory and coming back after you've gone and everything. It's just... I think it just touches everybody.
Absolutely. How about you, Annie?
My pick for classic is The Black Stallion by Walter Farley. I reread this so many times as a child and several as an adult. I'm almost embarrassed to say. Great adventure, courage, suspense, ethics, all everything, all in one fabulous story. I don't think it gets the attention it deserves, so
Annie,
I had to bring up The Black Stallion.
I get the impression that you're a woman who likes to cry when you read.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Definitely The Black Stallion falls into that category for me as well. We have just about 1 minute left, and I didn't ask you to do this. You already picked a Christmas or a holiday favorite, Marianne, but Alice and Annie, do you each have a holiday favorite that you turn to again and again, even when your kids are maybe a little old for picture books?
Oh, a holiday one. I guess I like, there's one called, I think it's called The Nativity, and I just love the illustrations in that one, and it just tells the story of the birth of Christ in such a beautiful, beautiful way with wonderful pictures that are realistic. I love the angel has combat boots on, and I'm grasping for the name of the author. I'm drawing a blank. I'm going to have to think about it and see, but this is absolutely wonderful, and I guess I like the stories that really convey the event of the season.
All right. And how about you, Alice?
I don't think I would ever get tired of hearing The Night Before Christmas. You know, just it's just so familiar to everybody. And you hear it once a year, and it just brings back all those memories of when you first heard it. And it's just, you know, it just says it all.
All right. And Annie, The Nativity, was it Julie Vivas?
Yes, that's
okay.
It. Thank you.
All right.
Well, whoever you've got on Google is awesome.
Thank you all so much. This is, don't tell anybody else, this is one of my favorite shows of the year. So come back again next year and we'll do it all over again. We will also be putting up this list on our Facebook page. We'll put up a link to that list on our webpage as well, and some wonderful recommendations today. Alice Meyer of Beaverdale Books, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Annie Leonard of The Next Chapter in Knoxville. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you. It's been so fun.
And Marianne Peters of Nubo Books in Cedar Rapids. Thank you.
Thank you, Charity.
Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Sarah Bowden. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Caitlin Fry. John Pemble in Des Moines gave us technical support today. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on the show, I'll talk with Rekha Basu, Finding Her Voice, a collection of Des Moines Register columns about women's struggles and triumphs in the Midwest. Talk of Iowa is a production of IPR News.